I'd like you to start out this morning in this session in Isaiah 2 for a minute. The book of Isaiah and chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Our brother Keith in his closing comments kind of set the foundation to where we're headed here. And I've been doing a lot of overviews in my responsibility. I'm going to be doing a topical overview. Much of it found in Isaiah, and it plays out as it plays out in the rest of the Word of God. A subject of Isaiah, but a big subject that takes us all the way through the Bible to the revelation of Jesus Christ. So beginning this topical study in Isaiah chapter 2, and we'll go to verse 11. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. We come to a technical expression in the Word of God that's good to know. The day of the Lord of hosts, the day of Jehovah, the day of the Lord. You will see in the Bible that that will be a special day of worldwide judgment. And it will not only be in Isaiah, it will be all the way through Revelation. The day of the Lord. It is, in this context, it doesn't mean a 24-hour day. It means a period of time when God will judge sin, direct intervention. We'll say to somebody, you'll have your day in court. We don't mean 24 hours there. We mean a time of reckoning. A time of answering for the sins and so on. So we come across this expression more than once in Isaiah and in the rest of the Word of God, the day of the Lord. It has to do with bringing man low. His lofty looks, his haughtiness, which was climaxed in the Assyrians, as we've been hearing. We'll probably hear more on that. Bringing man who thinks of himself, but bringing him low and God exalted. That's what should be happening in the church right now. In a microcosm here. And so, you know, as the Psalms say, brother, in Psalm 9:20, there's something God wants the nations, wants men to know. One of the things in Psalm 9:20, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah, put them in fear, O Lord. That the nations may know themselves to be but men. They understand we're created. We're just a man. But then in Psalm 83:18, that men may know that thou alone, whose name art Jehovah, is the Most High over all the earth. That there's a Most High above us, and we are just men. It's going to take the day of the Lord to do that. He's going to judge his haughtiness. Man saying, I'm the source, I sustain myself. Someday man saying, I am God. Day of the Lord, a special day of judgment, because men won't repent. I want to trace this day of the Lord. First of all, as we continue in Isaiah, going to chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And here we have the establishment of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Larry's already touched on this. But I want to take you down to verse 4. Isaiah 11 and verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Another word we're not getting into. It's used at least 60 times in Isaiah, is righteous or righteousness. He judges in righteousness. His judgments are right. And his kingdom will be righteousness, equity, fairness, justice. He is a just God. His gospel is just and so on, Romans will tell us. But in doing this in righteousness, something has to happen. And we already read that in verse 5 of Isaiah 11. He will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of the lips he shall slay the wicked. What we're going to see, the purpose of the day of the Lord, is the removal of the wicked. To have true righteousness, the way God wants it, you can't have the rule of evil and the rule of righteous coexist. Right now in this age we do. And you see these bumper stickers coexist. How's that working out for you? As they say. But in God's plan, to get the righteousness He wants, First, there's the slaying of the wicked. There's this judgment. Now, judgment will be the end of this present age, but it's not the end of God's world plan. It'll be replaced by the kingdom, the righteous kingdom of the Lord Jesus. And that's a principle all throughout Scripture, that sin must be dealt with first. The removal of sin and then the righteousness of God. Even in the church, there's that principle. You remember the Corinthians wrote Paul, they wanted some questions answered. And he'll begin to address those questions in 1 Corinthians 7:1. Now, concerning the questions whereof you wrote unto me. But before he answers the questions, he writes six other chapters they didn't ask for. And in those six chapters they didn't ask for, he speaks about putting a person continuing in certain sins out of the assembly. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. 1 Corinthians 5:13, excommunication. Huh? And so there's this dealing with sin in our own lives. We need to confess our sin. Personally, to have this fellowship restored with God. Somebody already quoted it this week. The time has come that judgment must first begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. And so the principle all throughout, that when you want righteousness and peace, there has to be the dealing with sin. And on a worldwide level, the day of the Lord is going to remove the sinner, remove the rebel, because you cannot have the kind of righteousness that God wants, the coexisting of the rule of evil and the rule of righteousness. So God must, to get the rule of righteousness, remove the evil. He must remove the evil. You try today to get, you know, go to the White House, say we're going to have a Bible study, see what happens, you know. The two don't coexist. It won't in the kingdom. Now, with that in mind, I want to take you to the day of the Lord, the day of God's judgment, the day of bringing this present world system under Satan and its rebellion to a climatic and cataclysmic end. But the purpose is, so the name of the Lord will be exalted, and righteousness will reign for the saints. Well, progressing now in this judgment, this day of the Lord, we'll get to that chapter in a minute, but go to chapter 13. Isaiah 13. I want to begin to trace this day. It's mentioned here in Isaiah several times. And as we'll see in a minute, brothers, usually when he speaks of this specific day, this final removal of the sinner and the confinement of Satan and so on, it's accompanied with a unique sign. And we'll call it a cosmic collapse. It'll affect the sun and the moon and the stars. Tremendous earthquake. There's a whole shaking and cosmic collapse. It'll be something impossible to miss. And it's a signal that you're in the day of the Lord. His judgment has come. Here in chapter 13, it's talked about in Isaiah, the day of the Lord. And you look at verse 1. Isaiah 13 and verse 1. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. So it's the burden of Babylon. We'll go down to verse 6. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands shall be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. And they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed at one another. Their faces shall be as flames. Amazing thing here. Look at verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. The day of the Lord is cruel. Men panic. The removal of the sinner. And then here comes your sign that you're not just speaking of a local thing. There is some near fulfillments of judgment. We've been studying about those. But this is the final judgment of this present world system, accompanied by this unique sign, the day of the Lord. Verse 10. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And when that unique cosmic collapse happens, you're in the day of the Lord of his final judgment. Looking at verse 11, the removal of the sinner. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible or tyrants. The arrogancy of man, that he knows the answers, and his haughtiness, and doesn't need God like the Assyrian. And God's going to bring all that to an end. Going to punish the world for the evil. Goes on to say in verse 12, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Verse 13, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of His fierce anger. Not only a cosmic collapse, the greatest earthquake we've ever known will happen in the day of the Lord. It's a whole shaking and breakdown of this planet under the wrath of God, who, as Brother Keith closed his session, did not happen instantly. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, 2 Peter 3:9. That's the promise of judgment. It's not slack, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But it will come. And sometimes when it doesn't come, we start to think, well, God doesn't care. This sin doesn't bother Him. Psalm 50, verse 20 and 21 and 22 puts it this way. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. All kind of sin. And God's silent. And He says the result of that, and thou thoughtest, I was altogether such a one as thyself. Psalm 50, 21. You just thought I was like you. It didn't matter. He said, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Psalm 50, verse 22. And so don't let the silence of God fool us into thinking He doesn't have wrath against sin. But in His mercy, He gives a time to repent, or none of us would be here. But there is the day of the Lord, when it's called the fullness of His wrath. Just like you that have raised children, you know, we get upset that one day we tell a child, I've had it up to here. And when we say that, they're in trouble. And I say this respectfully of the Lord, there comes a day He just has it up to here, and His righteous character demands Him to judge. And so this cosmic collapse of judging the world for its arrogancy is evil. And then to chapter 24, where Keith briefly had us, continuing with the day of the Lord and this judgment, Isaiah chapter 24. We'll go back to verse 1. Isaiah 24 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. We heard about that. Maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. There's just a complete shaking up of the earth. He goes on to say, if you look a little further down here in this, verse 4, the earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. Again, back to this haughty, this pride, this exaltation of man, which is Babylonish as well as other things, but it's against God. It's against God. We go down a little further in this chapter. Looking here at verse 19. 24:19. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and be removed like a cottage, and the transgression of it shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. That is in its present form. Like a drunkard. It's off its axis. It's reeling. The physical laws of the universe are laid aside right now. You have this tremendous shaking. Verse 21, as we heard, and it shall come to pass in that day the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are in high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. The spiritual world, principalities of darkness, as well as the kings on the earth. Satan will end up being put in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. A great judgment of evil in every form. And look at verse 24:23. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before His ancients gloriously. It's replaced with His glorious reign. But it's this cosmic collapse. This is the classic sign, as you study the Bible, that yes, there's near judgments and things like that, but the judgment, the day of the Lord, is this classic sign of the cosmic collapse. And the present end of this world system, it is coming. You go further now to Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34. It's in Isaiah, and it's elsewhere. As we heard, it gives us hope in this sense that evil will be put down. Evil does not win. God is just. And there is a kingdom coming. But the two don't coexist. What you're seeing here, brothers, is this present world system does not graduate into the kingdom of God. It doesn't improve through Christian politics. And it just gets better and better and better. And someday it's so good, Christ comes back. It ends by cataclysmic judgment. It gets worse and worse. And the only thing that will bring it to an end is this removal. And we need to understand it as Christians, to where to put our energy. It's not that it's going to evolve into the kingdom of God. It only ends by cataclysmic destruction. Nothing could be clearer, brothers, in Daniel's picture of this. That image, of all the kingdoms of the world, the kingdoms. And it's standing there in all its glory. And then there's this, an image is made with hands. Man's craftsmanship. Then he sees a stone cut without hands. And it hits this image, which is the kingdoms of the world, at its feet. And to be true to my advertisement, football players know that if you tackle someone at the feet, big man comes down, And so it hits it at its feet. The whole thing collapses, breaks down from the fall, and shatters into a million pieces, as we say. Little like shaft, little shards. And the wind comes along and just blows it away. Here today, gone tomorrow. And then the stone in Daniel 2, it's a living stone, it grows into a mountain. And the stone without hands, our Lord Jesus, replaces the kingdoms of men. They end by cataclysm, not by political improvement. Know where to put your energy. And it's replaced by the kingdom of God. That's exactly the teaching of Revelation 11:15. For the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. It is not coexisting, it's replacement. That's true replacement theology when He judges this earth. Okay, but here we see it again in chapter 34. Chapter 34, Isaiah. It's a worldwide message, verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. And let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and His fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall rise up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. Mountains now melted, not with snow and slush, human blood. And then verse 4. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth from the vine, and a falling fig from the fig tree. Like a tree being shaken in a storm. Here's the stars falling, heaven collapsing. It's a sign hard to miss. Verse 5, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, that's Edom, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Look at verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year for recompenses for the controversy of Zion. The day of the Lord's vengeance. Brothers, on God's calendar, God has different days. And He acts different on different days. So do you. If I look at your calendar, some of you men, I'll see anniversary day. You're going to be acting different that day, aren't you? I see holiday. Well, you won't be at work. You might be at vacation. Birthday, etc. Like Brother Ralph today, And he's getting text all day from his wife. And, things happen differently on that day. And there's different things that happen on different days. Right now, we are not in the day of God's vengeance. We're in the accepted time, the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 tells the church, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Men can do all their evil and they look like they're getting away with it. The day of salvation. The gospel is going forth. But when the day of the Lord comes, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. And this great indignation of God. You go further down here in chapter 34. And we read this yesterday here. But I'll take you back to verse 16. Seek ye the Lord out of the book of the Lord, and read, no, not one of these shall fail. None of will want her mate for my mouth. For my mouth it hath commanded, and the Spirit it hath gathered them. Everything we're reading about, it's not going to fail. It's going to happen, as hard as it may seem. And so we come to this day of the Lord. The Lord Jesus was aware of these 2 days. They're different. They're separated by at least 2,000 years. It's already been mentioned this week that he was reading in the little synagogue there in his day, Nazareth. He was reading from Isaiah 61, and he gets to the point of, now is the acceptable year, I bring good tidings, liberty to the captives, and then he stops and he sets down what he didn't read, and the day of his vengeance hadn't come yet. He came to bring the day of salvation. God acts different on different days. Know what day you're in. But when the day of vengeance comes, this is what's going to happen. It's also a lot of places, but let me show you another one. The prophet Joel, right next to Amos, okay? Prophet Joel. Prophecy of Joel in chapter 2. You want to look for this through the Word of God. Look for the classic sign. Know when it's talking about and why. In Joel chapter 2. Book of Joel in chapter 2 and verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong. There hath been none ever like. Neither shall there any more after it, even to the years of many generations. No day in history like this day. Never a day like it, never a day after. That's what the Lord Jesus taught about the Great Tribulation, right? And so we have this tremendous, this one-time thing that earth has never experienced. Going further down in this chapter, look at verse 10. Verse 10. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. There's the great earthquake, the cosmic collapse, God's wrath upon sin. We can't underestimate it just because we're in the day of salvation. He will come and judge. There must be an urgency to our message in this because of that. You go further down in Joel chapter 2. Further down in Joel chapter 2, Peter brought this out of Pentecost. The Spirit part was fulfilled, but looking at verse 31. Verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So we have the sun turn into darkness again. We have more of this in chapter 3 concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Look at verse 2. Joel 3, verse 2. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. I don't know if I read it, brothers, in Isaiah 34, but it was there. I think I read it. But this judgment, part of the reason is for the controversy of Zion. That was in Isaiah 34, I think, verse 8. The controversy of Zion. They've parted my land. Part of God's fury is the nations have their inheritance on earth. Spain has theirs. France has theirs. You know what God's inheritance is? Israel. Israel, mine inheritance, Isaiah 19:25 was read to us last night. Leviticus 25:23, the land is mine. That piece of real estate is God. He has given it to Israel as tenants to lease it as their earthly heritage. But it's God's, and he says, they're my inheritance. That's God's glory, His inheritance on earth. And they've parted my land. And all these nations today trying to bring peace, dividing up God's land. Does that bother you? What if you go home and the enemy has come in? They say, your bedroom now belongs to this neighbor, your living room, they've divided your house. I think you'd be upset. And so, giving God's land away to different people, it's man's way, okay? But God says the controversy of Zion, they've parted my land, and there's going to be wrath of that. You look at verse 9, chapter 3 and verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say, I am strong. And during the kingdom, they beat their spears into plows and so on. Disarmament. Here's armament. United Nations message is disarmament. It's armament because there's going to be a war. And God's going to gather all the nations in Armageddon. He's going to get them all in one place. Look at verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Here it comes, verse 15. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. So there's hope for the believer in those days in Israel. But the great shaking, the day of the Lord, men's haughtiness, men's sin, men's denial of God and His heritage in that land that is God's land. That's why Israel is the most hated nation in that land. Why are people fighting over Jerusalem? You know, Portland's a lot prettier maybe, you know, in New York City and Los Angeles and that. They're not fighting over that. Because God says, Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen to put my name there. 1 Kings 11:36. His name is testimony. His person is identified with it. To overthrow Jerusalem in the name of another God like Allah is to overthrow God and defeat Him. It's a satanic thing. It's a satanic thing. It's far bigger than politics and land and that. It's a satanic thing against God, just like the Assyrians that we've been learning about. And so there's this great day of the Lord, the exaltation of man, but He'll be put down and the Lord will be exalted. Now, you say, well, that's Old Testament. It's New Testament too. Matthew 24, as we continue our survey of the topic of the day of the Lord. And what a revelation we'll get in Matthew 24. That this is the day of the return to earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, the Lord speaking on earth, the Lord Jesus. And you go to verse 29. Matthew 24 and verse 29. Immediately, after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Starting to sound familiar? You're in the day of the Lord, and that day of the Lord is the return, the second time to earth, of Jesus Christ our Lord. But this time in glory, not to die on the cross. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The collapse of outer space. It's all dark, and it's like lightning lights up a sky. He comes in His glory, comes as the sun shines in His brightness, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And it lights up this dark background, and now He's seen not as some carpenter, not a babe, not hanging on a cross, in His glory, King of kings and Lord of lords. And the tribes of the earth are shocked. They go into a mourning and so on. And so you have the glorious return of the Lord Jesus. First, a judgment on the sinner, the removal of the sinner, and then the establishment of the saints in the righteousness. It's taught in the epistles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. The day of the Lord. Book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We now know it's the return of the Lord Jesus, the second time to earth. And judgments that accompany that. But Paul writes the church here, the believers, in verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In other words, they're not going to expect it. It's going to be a surprise to them. Verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, they think that through the rule and Antichrist and all that, that they've got the world working together. Everything's, they've solved it. Man has solved it. Peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh among them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The whole thing will just collapse. Sudden destruction. They're not prepared. But we know it's coming. Verse 4, but brethren, ye are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You see, we have advanced information. It's called prophecy. We're prepared. We're saved. Yeah. You ever considered a value of advanced information, prophecy? What would the world have given to know on 9/10 what happened on 9/11? Think things would have been different? Yeah. And so to know, we have this. We know what's going to happen. And so what should affect our life now? You see, if there was some, you're down here in Florida, you see this mansion on a lake for sale, 20-room mansion, it's $50,000. He said, oh, my. He called home. He said, what a steal. I got to get this and fix it, you know, and get it all nice, groomed and everything. We got to buy this for $50,000. Then you get some inside information. It's on some wetlands, and it's going to be turned into an alligator preserve. And so the city's going to tear it down. And then how much is it worth to you now? He'll say, I'll lose $50,000. This is where the world's headed. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. To put our heart and affections in this world and its things and its system, it's going to pass away. It can save me from all this, knowing this. How to live, because I know how it's going to end. They're going to be caught by surprise, but we're ready. It goes on to tell the church in verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to the air for us first. We're not appointed to wrath. He bore our wrath. So this wrath isn't for us, because Christ died for our sins. We're appointed to salvation. But it's coming, and it will affect how I live now, where I put my time, my energy, my money, and so on. And then the last book of the Bible, Revelation 6. It's still future. Somebody said, Randy. Maybe I'm hearing voices, okay? Revelation chapter 6. It's future. It hasn't happened yet. John, when he sees the sixth seal opened by the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, this opening of the seven seals, which is a seven-year time period. Look at verse 12, Revelation 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Isaiah's language. The day of the Lord, the cosmic collapse, the great earthquake, affecting every mountain and island. Verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains, the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains. There's equality now. Kings with the slave hiding together. They're on equal level now. And verse 16, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. See, anybody ever afraid of a lamb? They will be that day. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? There is a day of wrath coming. We are saved from it as a church. But knowing that should affect the way we live now and what we do now, according to 1 Thessalonians 5. But there's a day of wrath coming. That's why he tells us these things. And I want to take you to give you some more details on this in Revelation 16. And if it wasn't written here, I'd find it hard to believe, but it is written. The sin of this world, this present system under Satan, it is not permanent. God is a just God. There'll be the exaltation of righteousness, but first the removal of the wicked. But we're still in the day of salvation, when men and women can be saved. You know, what a heart it reveals of God. But chapter 16 here. Chapter 16. And this is Armageddon, the seventh angel of the fullness of God's wrath pouring his bowl out. And in the context of Armageddon, which is verse 16, look at verse 17. Revelation 16, verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Outer space will affect the earth. There's going to be the greatest earthquake is ahead of us, verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Every city of all the nations fall. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Come to remembrance. Let us make us a name of man, by man, for man. The haughtiness, the arrogancy of man. Great Babylon comes to remembrance. And look at verse 20. And every island fled away and mountains were not found. Can you imagine that? The mountains are gone. I live in a land of mountains out in Portland. They're beautiful. They're gone. Every island sinks. The great shaking of this world that Isaiah said, he turns it upside down. And we're enamored with this world. It looks glittery and gold to us, you know. World passes away, you know. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But he that doeth the will of God, John went on to say, abideth forever. It's all going to be gone, verse 21. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague thereof, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. They still don't repent. They tell me a talent is anywhere from 80 to 100 pounds. I've been in hailstorms like golf balls where they've damaged my car. It's been frightening. But to think of an 80-pound ice chunk falling all the way from heaven, a multiple crushing earthquake, what a time of horror it is. This is the day of the Lord that God inspired Isaiah to write about. It should do a couple things for us, as we've already been saying. There is justice after all. Righteousness, it does pay to live righteous by His grace. There is justice after all. And where do we invest our thing? And there's going to be a kingdom, but sin must be put down. He first slays the wicked and then rules with a girdle of righteousness, a principle all throughout Scripture. So may God encourage you in this day of the Lord. Don't mix it up with other things and other events. Here's the sign. You see the sign? The cosmic collapse, the earthquake. As Brother Keith said though earlier, and he says it with scriptural authority, we see this from heaven. And then we come back with our Lord Jesus Christ in the final climax and setting up of the kingdom. Because before He comes with the saints to judge and to rule, He comes for the saints. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we take our long break, we have an open time later today, but just on what I talked about, is there a clarification question or a comment, Brother George? I didn't say that, but George said, does it include the millennial period? Well, as you study the whole thing, the day of the Lord is this judgment that brings to an end this present world system and therefore inaugurates the reign of Christ. Now, that does happen 1,000 years. So in that sense, the day of the Lord is judgment and the exaltation. That we started back in Isaiah 2, where by your own admission you relate, right? No, I'm just kidding. Where it said, you know, the day of the Lord, and then haughtiness will be put down, and the Lord will be exalted. So the exaltation part of the day of the Lord is a very positive thing for believers, and it is 1,000 years, yes. But the judgment part is not 1,000 years, okay, in that sense of the climatic judgment. Brother Christian. Yes.
So probably that's actually when it begins. Would it include the tribulation?
Well, the tribulation, yes, is definitely a time of judgment. But the day of the Lord, when you have this great cosmic collapse and His return, that is a technical term, that's that event.
Right.
But preceding that event is a breakdown of the infrastructure, that Lamb opening the seals. It's connected to it. But if you want to be very technical, the day of the Lord is a revelation of Christ as this thing is collapsing, He's coming back, and so on.
The second coming.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
And then, does it also include after the millennium, then the fire comes down from heaven, that
together? Oh, now he says after the millennium and the fire comes down from heaven. Second Peter will talk about that, and he'll call it the day of God. The day of God. The elements melt with fervent heat. The day of God. The day of the Lord first he talks about. Then he speaks of the day of God, but new heavens and a new earth. So there's different days on his calendar. Something to think about. Brother Jack.
Immediate interpretation.
There is no immediate interpretation. We're not in the day of the Lord.
No, I
The only thing the Old Testament you could take is the day of the Lord as far as the cosmic collapse, there is no immediate interpretation. But the destruction of Babylon, that there was the destruction of Babylon after they judged Israel. But we see Babylon in Revelation. The whole system has never been brought to an end. But there are nations that fall, like Assyria fell eventually, Babylon fell eventually, and so there was a subduing of these powers. You could say there was an intermediate judgment, but it was never looked at as the final day of the Lord. So there's nothing immediate that answers to that, but there is levels of judgment of subduing a nation, if that's what you mean.
Right. So there is a local concept, a local immediate concept of the day of the Lord.
Go ahead, Larry. Say a little more on that.
I said not necessarily.
I know.
What's not necessarily more?
It didn't necessarily have to have. Sometimes we look and say, what was the immediate application? It must be one of the people that lived in.
Yeah.
But these things, some of them went.
Amen. Amen.
The only application they got was in the fact that ultimately they were pointed to the hope that was before them that one day God would do this.
Yes.
Even if it wasn't in their life.
Yeah. That's immediate. That's something I can live for that in view. But sometimes it will not happen till then. And so that's why I'm saying there's no immediate there. I went to Larry like this. I was told by my Japanese brethren that in Japan this means I want to fight. So, I'll take one, Brother Harvey.
Saying that the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall bring them out and drink them. That's Psalm 75, verse 8. Now let's go to Jeremiah 25:15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. God has a cup of wrath for the wicked. And that's what Randy was reading in Revelation. Now let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, God is speaking to Abraham. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. God's cup of wrath on the Amorites is not yet full. He was giving them time to repent. When the nation of Israel comes out of Egypt, the cup is full.
Thank you.
God pours it out on
him. Amen.
Many apocalypse. It is not the final fulfillment.
That's right.
It's a near fulfillment.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, that's a foreshadow. But the coming again of the Lord Jesus is a one-time event, and I know you're saying it, and it's not here, and it will be here. And Brother Larry here, which means we're done. Yeah, okay. So we'll pick up more of this on the contribution time.
I do want to say one thing.
One thing. I made a statement yesterday, and in one sense it doesn't affect what I brought out with Hezekiah in the Psalms of Degrees about the middle verse in the Bible. Apparently there's some controversy about whether or not that is indeed the middle verse of the Bible. And so for the sake of what I often say when I'm preaching, if I ever say anything that's not true according to Scripture, please love me enough to come up and tell me. Don't let me continue on in my ignorance or error, and don't let me propagate that to the people of God. So it may sound like a minor thing, but it's the verse that I quoted still germane to the subject that I brought out. But because you do it so frequently, man. So anyway. Even in that, apparently, there's, again, this controversy about whether or not that is indeed the middle verse, and so on and so on. So, if you want a good, reliable source, you can go on the Internet. Because that's where my corrector went to get his information. Yeah. But anyway, like Randy and I both said, I've heard that almost since I was saved, when there was no internet, when there was no email or anything like that. Yeah, so it's a thing, but research it for yourself and see, but I want to say that from what I've looked at initially, it may indeed not be the middle verse of the Bible. And see Brother Ed Anthony, he's got some facts and figures on that if you want to. Thank you.
This is your long Brexit.